literary terms, such as Impressionism and Expressionism, which had become hopelessly misunderstood by critics. I did not have the necessary space in Art Matters to explore any individual story fully. Instead, in order to analyze the many technical aspects of Hemingway's art, I drew upon exemplary passages from most of the 53 stories and 18 vignettes he wrote between 1922 and 1939. Early in the book, I observed, such a dissection has its obvious value. It gets beneath the surface to show how texts actually work. But it also tends to make stories into clinical specimens, treating parts of them rather than looking at each story as a whole. Hemingway, I should hasten to note, would probably have detested what I am doing here. As penance, in a future book, I intend to examine a number of stories thoroughly as autonomous texts, putting back together what here I so callously take apart. The short story is a living thing. Even in its final form, it continues to grow, change, and reveal hidden aspects of itself to new generations of readers. But, as with human bodies, a certain knowledge of basic anatomy illuminates. Encouraged by and grateful for the response of critics and creative writers to Art Matters, I wish to make good on that penance I promised and present readings that do justice to a number of individual Hemingway stories. Although the Hemingway short story is best read after Art Matters, I have shaped it so that it can be read on its own. Therefore, whenever I use a term coined in the previous book, I explain it in a shorthand fashion so that the reader will get its gist. I also use endnotes to Art Matters for those interested in reading fuller definitions of the terms, along with detailed analyses of examples drawn from Hemingway's stories. In this manner, I hope, the craft readings in this book can be enjoyed with profit on their own, while not being constantly interrupted by forays into the critical terminology developed in my earlier volume. The same three premises articulated in the preface and introduction to Art Matters also inform the Hemingway short story. Although, once we are done with this preface, I will try to refrain from repeating my polemics and occasionally combative tone. I have no desire to beat a dead horse, and, to be candid, I'm done trying to justify a study of the aesthetic principles and techniques of the most influential fiction writer of the past 100 years. It's not that I've ceased to care, but the importance to all literary critics of understanding craft should be self-evident. Eavesdrop on any group of professionals, musicians, surgeons, athletes, jurists, fly fishermen, psychologists, pilots, political strategists, actors, firefighters, poets, journalists, skilled artisans, engineers, teachers, comedians, soldiers, or fiction writers, and you will discover that, whatever else they may discuss, when they get serious, they talk about their craft. If it's deemed essential by actual fiction writers, then it should matter to anyone claiming authority about fiction. A literary critic indifferent to craft is like a football analyst uninterested in the mechanics of pass blocking. It's manifestly ridiculous. But unlike the football analyst, or the offensive tackle practicing his craft, such literary critics will not lose their jobs as a result of their ignorance. Nevertheless, I'm a realist, and all putative critics of fiction who dismiss literary art are welcome to cast a cold eye on this book and go their merry way. I wish them well. But for anyone who believes that art does and will always matter, and that cultural studies, however important, and they certainly are, do not possess a monopoly on literary criticism, the following three assumptions underlie both books. My first premise is that a writer is not merely a social construction, a site upon which cultural forces contend, but a complex human being, a professional in his or her craft, and capable of agency in consciously making decisions that create a literary text from blank pages of paper. In 1968, when Roland Barthes famously declared the death of the author, he did so for three related, necessary, and beneficial purposes. First, he wanted to open up the study of literature, which he rightly felt was tyrannically centered on the author, his person, his history, his tastes, his passions. Explanation of the work is still sought in the person of its producer, as if, through the more or less transparent allegory of fiction, it was always, ultimately, the voice of one and the same person, the author, which was transmitting his confidences. Second, he wanted critics to view texts, to use Mikhail Bakhtin's term, as unfinalizable, to see a literary work as a fabric of quotations, resulting from 1,000 sources of